I don't know how it comes, or why, or how the ideas take shape. The experience is deeply nonverbal, and translation is impossible. It begins with wild, wide alterations between elation and depression, and manifests itself as musically infected mood swings, an extreme disaffection with music itself. All music. I turn off the radio, or complain about it when it's on. I pick unhappily through my collection of recordings, hoping I'll find something vitalizing, but can't. No, all music becomes affected, pale, empty, worthless, even abrasive. Bach becomes a prig, and Mozart a dandy, Mahler a rooting swine, Beethoven a schizophrenic jackal, Bartok a clown, Stravinsky a bumbling dilettante. Rock and roll sounds like junk piles being torn through by sweaty dogs. I run for the radio and snap it off. I hate sounds. I fume and I begin to pace. The pacing becomes frenetic and I wipe my right hand over my brow and through my hair. Then I pull out music paper or load the computer's composition software and abandon everything else. Cooking, repairing gizmos, writing words, washing clothes, even until it becomes unbearable, painful biological demands. I abandon everything else to write. I push buttons or sharpen pencils to calm myself. I'm tormented by ugly, crashing jumbles of sound, all intoning in my mind's ear, tauntingly and simultaneously, until the raw materials and ruined recyclings of sound begin to erect themselves. Out of my control, it sometimes seems, into a structure, an architectural form. But the computer's green glares back at me, and I fuss with colors or dangle the mouse by its tail. Even the comfort of crisp music paper is wrong without the right number of lines, or it's too yellow, or too green, or too shiny, or it's long where it should be tall, you know. I disgustedly choose the best screen, or the best sheet, and lay down clefs. So those go down first, and the instrumentation then goes with them. Everything's composed in full score, the way it'll be heard. No cryptic piano sketches to be expanded later. The notes fall from my hands, and the piece takes shape. Indeed, it has been composing in my head over the past 2 or 3 days, or weeks, or months, and I've been hearing it somewhere until I'm certain that it's there, but the shape doesn't come until the dissatisfaction and room pacing begin. Even worse, and this is so maddening, I can never find the root of it. The piece is at work before I know where it came from, and the inventions and developments take place as I'm preparing to write. From the onset of sonic dissatisfaction to the initial composing can be less than a few hours, but the only time I could actually reconstruct the process was when my back was injured and I was drugged. A piece began in my mind as a fragment of melody, and in a way I could actually hear myself coax the fragment to play through. So, play itself out it did, and it would regularly withdraw and reroute itself along a better path, like a rat in a maze, until it was written quite well, thoroughly, but not to the end. Harmonies and counterpoints would arise, or perhaps I would actively consider them as the melody was being drawn out. And they would come quite literally into an aural focus. Missing connections or bridges would be built. I would create them, I suppose, but they'd be built as much by my hands as by some mental ear. It was automatic writing sometimes, but if the architecture looked wrong, I could erase it and start again. Finally, the rest of the piece assembled itself as I struggled to keep up with my pencil. So once it begins, I'll compose night and day with little regard for anyone or anything around me, including other music playing, until my fingers catch up with the thoughts. Sometimes such a catching up is only at the end of the piece, as with TL written in a few days. At other times, such as the composition of Rough Edges, it'll get stopped at a transition without being able to build the bridge to new ground, which itself, that new ground, may be already composed. The first page of Chardash jumped out, but the rest crumbled to nothing and remained rubble until I built a new, more worthwhile musical shape overall. Each piece is its own work of art, but the pathway to its door is dream familiar. Ah, yes, here I am. I know this place. Even with short arrangements, such as Lush Life, the taking over of my other minds by the nonverbal composer mind is complete and astounding. Music was playing in the house, telephone conversations were going on, yet the only sound in my mind closed my earlids. The notes poured out, and the piece was finished. But inspiration. I've never understood inspiration. Is it when a tune jumps into your head from nowhere? Well, no, it's never happened to me. In my mental wilderness, it's like something growing in the distance, but it's blurry from here. As I concentrate, it comes into focus, still growing. No bolts of lightning, no voice of God. The form is there, like a growing plant implies the adult within days of its germination. For the genetic material and biological instructions for the adult have been there in the seed, waiting for the moment of fertility. But no analogy works. The reality is this. I dream. Daydream is better, and hear fleeting sounds. Sometimes they're notes building into tunes, sometimes they're counterpoints playing against each other, sometimes only textures, sometimes verbal ideas translating into another language, but it's seldom the same as that. Rather, it's being drawn from some musical image area in my head, which you can only see if you imagine me working, as I look down, ahead down, brushing my hand through my hair, burbling aloud bits of sound, then jumping up, pacing, then eating, and again sitting and brushing my hand. That's what you could see if you could watch. I would appear something like an idiot. It might be in slow motion, I don't know, because the time goes by oddly when I compose. First it's 9 a.m., then it's 3 p.m., and I'm unaware that any time has passed. The day that Stravinsky died, the day in April 1971, I heard the news on the radio early that morning. I began to write exequy for Wind Ensemble and recall saying briefly something about having to write, Stravinsky died, I just heard, let me be for a while. The music was finished, and it felt, perhaps an hour, but a day had evanesced into a few pages of pencil scratch. So it's a kind of possession, being possessed by the music, possessed by the drive, the sound. It happens for me so differently in writing words or anything else that can be called creative, that I can't make it very clear. The energy is both cerebral and physical, physically exhausting but brain-driven. I use a computer scoring program now, but for nearly 30 years I wrote on paper, and this is how it feels. Sometimes, when a section is being written, and I use the passive voice here, it seems right, when a section is being written on paper, I am motionless except for my right hand, an hour or more, with every muscle at attention. My left wrist is curled down, my head leaning on it close to the paper, sometimes my glasses off, a ruler waiting to line measures, my right hand speeding along until it gets ready to cramp, but me moving, forcing that hand on regardless, occasionally stopping to pound my right hand with my left until it stops cramping. And of course, with keyboard, it's keyboard fatigue now, but then it goes going on relentlessly with tiny note heads and groups and stems and beams, sweeping long phrases showing arches of pencilship and, I hope, screenship, short and tight ones looking knotty, and all it done in an inner sphere of utter silence, as if my earlids had shut out the world, like the moment before waking to startling noises, nearly conscious, aware of something in the distance, but enveloped by the moment of dream, like something a friend once wrote in a poem, you have to be awake to be living a dream. But a transfixion out of which I'm unwilling to shake myself until the spell is complete, until I'm drained, or worst of all, until I'm torn from it by an invasion of a visitor, a human or animal visitor, until the sound so joins that of the outside world that it becomes one with it and leads me out of myself. And when a great hailstorm comes up and blows and rattles and slams and claps along with percussion, and I am drawn out to breathe a sigh of relief and look back, if only for a moment or two, at the few seconds of music that I've written in the many hours I've spent silent, still, concentrating and glowing with an aura of pure sonic energy, or at last, and gratefully, if the music has completed itself.